story from the Bible now, but a question maybe for younger people first. Paul has already said this. Can anyone tell me the special name for the Friday before Easter Sunday? Today's Easter Day. What is the special name for the Friday before Easter Sunday? Yes, Lola. Good Friday. Thank you very much. Now, maybe open this up to everyone. Can anyone tell me the name of the supermarket that got into trouble this week because of an advert they ran about Good Friday? We've got four options there. Sainsbury's, Aldi, Tesco, or Morrison's. Other supermarkets are available, but it's one of those four. Anyone tell me what the name of the supermarket was? Timothy, go for it. Tesco, yes. Thanks, Dad. Yes, Tesco got into trouble this week because they ran this advert in their store. It said, great offers on beer and cider. Good Friday just got better. Now, can I even say, why were some people offended by that advert? And maybe for the older ones, why were people offended by that? Tesco had to quickly take it away and apologize. Anyone, why was that seen to be a bad advert to run about Good Friday? Bad about good. Anyone? Yes, Millie. Yes, Millie, thank you. It's maybe sent the message, Good Friday is just about beer and cider and drinking a lot, potentially. But actually, what happened on Good Friday? This was the big weird thing, that Good Friday is a very odd name for this day in Easter. Because on Good Friday, Jesus was sentenced to death on false charges. He was beaten, he was flogged, he was nailed to a cross, and he slowly died over the course of that day. And Christians call that day Good Friday. But I want us to see that actually, that's a weird name, but actually Easter is a time of strange good news. We're going to think about this story in Luke's Gospel of the road to Emmaus and Jesus meeting his disciples that we saw in the video there. But it's a story that helps us get to the heart of what the strange good news of Easter is. Because the strange good news of Easter is the strange good news of the whole Bible, as we saw. And Paul has already summarized it really nicely. The message of the whole Bible in two words, what is it? Second? Thank you, Jesus wins. Yeah, now I've got a far less punchy one, but that's a great one. Remember, Jesus wins. But strange good news of Easter is we're worse than we think we are, but God's grace is greater than we think it is. We're worse than we think we are, but God's grace is greater than we think it is. Now, how does that story we just saw in the video help us understand that? I hope you see it's a really vivid story Luke tells of these two disciples on the road to a village called Emmaus. And that's where they'd been staying for the whole festival of Passover that had been happening. So they would walk back to their house every day and come back to Jerusalem to see what was happening in the Passover. Now, Luke tells us the name of one of the disciples. His name is Cleopas, but the other one we're not told who he is. We don't know much about these two disciples. What we do know is they're followers of Jesus. They've been with Jesus throughout the whole week of the Passover, and they are deeply confused and disappointed at the fact that Jesus died. And we learn that because they tell a third man they meet on the road to Emmaus. And who's that third man? Well, Luke tells us in verse 15, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. That's really amazing, really casual that Luke just says, oh yeah, and Jesus was there. Because in Luke's gospel, we've not seen Jesus alive yet. The first part of this chapter, we see the women go to the tomb and find it empty. They get a message from an angel saying, Jesus is risen, but you don't actually see Jesus until this point. And Luke says, actually, the third man is Jesus, but the other two disciples don't know it yet. And we're kind of sitting there going, we know it's Jesus. When are the two disciples going to learn who this is? And so Jesus begins by asking them a question. What is it you're talking about on the road to Emmaus? And Luke says, their response tells a lot. What the two disciples do, they're walking, they stop. They stood still, says Luke, because it's just all too much for them. They've been talking about how Jesus, the person they loved, the person they thought was the prophet sent by God to put things right, was actually dead. So they almost can't keep walking when they have to think of what they've been talking about. They are so disappointed about Jesus. Let me read from that what they say to Jesus here. They say, we're talking about Jesus of Nazareth. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. That line, we had hoped that he was the one. These disciples had so much hope about Jesus, and now he was dead. It was the end of all their hopes, the death of Jesus. Jesus couldn't have been God's special king now, because God wouldn't have a king who went to a cross. But actually, the stranger with them just almost slaps them and almost really challenges what they're saying. Verse 25, he says, how foolish you are, how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Didn't the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in the Bible about himself. You see, what this stranger tells these two disciples very clearly is this: the cross was always part of God's plan to save us. For these two disciples, the cross is just a failure. It's a disaster. It's a tragedy that Jesus has been defeated. But Jesus tells them here, actually, the cross was always part of the plan. It was always part of the plan. The whole Bible points to the cross. And why does the Bible point to the cross? Well, it's because of that first thing we thought about. We are all worse than we think we are. We're worse than we think we are. That's the message of the Bible. Because actually, these two disciples thought, well, okay, Jesus, God's king, is going to come and he's going to redeem Israel. He's going to kick out the Romans, because that's our biggest problem. Our biggest problem is the Romans. If he just gets rid of the Romans, everything's going to be fine, because, yeah, we're basically good people. We're Israelites. And if he just gets rid of the Romans, then thanks very much, God, off you go. We'll be fine. But actually, God knows we all have a bigger problem than that, a problem that could only be dealt with at the cross. And it's the same with us today. We often think our biggest problem is something we can see. Maybe your biggest problem is your mum and dad don't let you do what you want to do, and Jesus has to sort them out. Or maybe your biggest problem is your boss at work is really difficult, or you don't have enough money, or maybe someone you love is sick. Maybe that is your biggest problem. We imagine we know what our biggest problem is, but God actually knows we've got a bigger problem than all those problems. And that problem the Bible calls sin, that we have rejected and we ignore God. We don't love him and we don't love the people around us. And because of that, we cannot be God's friends. We can't be part of God's family. And the sentence for that is to be cut off from God forever in death. We're worse than we think we are, Jesus tells these disciples. He had to come and die on a cross. But the great news that follows on from that is that God's grace is greater than we think it is. Actually, God saw our problem, and he didn't just leave us. He sent Jesus to go to the cross and die and take our punishment so we could be welcomed into God's family, so we can be forgiven and made righteous and become children of a loving Father. Why? Because God loves us. God the Father sent his Son. God the Son willingly went to the cross for us. See, God's grace is greater than we think it is, because it cost God so much. That's what Jesus tells these disciples on the road to Emmaus. How foolish you are. God sees the problem we have. It would take the death of the Son of God to solve it. But that is what has happened. That is how much God loves you, that he sent the Messiah to go to a cross and die for you. You see, we're worse than we think we are, says Jesus. But God's grace is greater than we think it is. And that is the strange good news of Easter. Good Friday is a good day, because there, Jesus dealt with our biggest problem, sin, by dying himself in our place. But yeah, so we thought about the first part of this story of the road to Emmaus, is kind of thinking about that strange good news, that we're worse than we think we are, but God's grace is greater than we think it is. That's what the cross is all about. That first bit doesn't sound like good news. We're worse than we think we are. But the good news is God knows that. He still loves us. He still sends Jesus. And his grace is greater than anything else we could imagine. And turn to the second half of this encounter on the road to Emmaus. There's a couple of things I want to leave us with. Think about the difference it makes that Jesus is alive today. Because Jesus is alive. He's risen. And that's wonderful news for everyone who trusts in him. The first thing I want us to see here is that Jesus is alive today and he meets us where we are. Jesus meets us where we are. Just think the way Luke describes those two disciples, Cleopas and his friend. They are full of disappointment. They are sad. They're grieving. We had hoped, they tell Jesus. But now they feel like their hopes have gone. And as Paul has said, the world we live in can be really difficult sometimes. We can just go, I had hoped that things would work out, but they just didn't. These disciples feel confused. They feel let down. They feel alone. And it feels like God is a long way away from them. And yet, Luke tells us here, Jesus is right there. He is right there with them. He's risen and he's walking alongside them. He's listening to them. He's about to speak to them words of great comfort. Jesus is alive today and he meets us where we are. And again, for a lot of people in the world today, Jesus maybe feels a long way off. He feels like, well, if Jesus is alive, he's probably up in heaven a long way away. But Luke wants us to see here, even when we don't always recognize him, Jesus is with his people. He meets us where we are. And we don't have to pretend that everything's fine. We don't have to pretend that we're happy when we're not. We can be honest with Jesus because he meets us where we are. I think amazingly as well, Jesus meets us in his word. I always read bits of like these Easter appearances of Jesus and I go, I'd love to have been there. Wouldn't it be great to be there and see Jesus walking around in the flesh? That'd be amazing. And it's very natural to feel like that. I think it would have been great to be there. But actually, look what Jesus does with these two disciples. To show them who he is, he takes them to the Bible. He shows them that the whole Bible is about him. The risen Jesus kind of does a Bible study with his disciples on the road to Emmaus. It's amazing. So what Jesus is saying is, how do we get to know him as the risen Lord? How can we know that Jesus is alive today? We do it by doing what we're doing together now, by reading God's word together and asking God to show us Jesus. Again, it's hard to get excited about the Bible sometimes. It's a book. We kind of go, books aren't very interesting. But actually, Jesus says the whole Bible is a gift from God given to us because he loves us. And the whole Bible is about Jesus, his grace, his love, his power available to us. Jesus is alive today and he meets us in his word, the Bible. And the last thing I want us to think about is Jesus is alive today and he welcomes us into God's family. Look at how the story ends here. The risen Jesus with his disciples, verses 30 to 31. They arrive at the place they were walking to, and the disciples say, please stay with us, stranger. Please stay. And this is what happens. When Jesus was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. See, Jesus eats with his disciples to show he's alive, but also to show that they are now welcome into God's family. In the first century Middle Eastern culture, to eat with someone meant you accepted them, you welcomed them. They were coming into the family. And that's what Jesus is doing here. He is giving them bread. He's feeding them because now they are welcomed into God's family. They're welcome at God's table. I mean, one of the reasons I love this story of the road to Emmaus so much is it shows that the good news of Jesus being risen again isn't just for the apostles, isn't just for the 12 disciples, like the big guys, if you like. It's for everyone. Because Luke gives us the name of one of these guys, Cleopas, not a big name in the church history. The other disciple, we don't even get to know his name. And yet Jesus is here. He's with these disciples, walking with them, talking with them, helping them. Even though we don't know one of their names, Jesus knows their name. And Jesus loves them and is with them. Because Jesus is alive today, he meets us where we are. He meets us in his word and he welcomes us into God's family. And that's why we celebrate the good news of Easter today. So let me pray for us, and then we're going to sing again. Let me pray. Lord Jesus, thank you that you are alive today. We don't just read about you as if you were a great person in history. We don't just read about you and you're distant from us. Lord, you're right here with us. By your Spirit, you're with your people. And Lord, because of your death and resurrection, you welcome us into your family. You help us to know just how much you love us and how precious we are to you. Lord, thank you for defeating sin and death. Thank you that you win. Thank you that you share that victory with us. Even though we don't deserve it, you love us so much. You want us to be with you in your family forever and ever. We praise you for that, Lord Jesus. Keep us praising you for that throughout today and in the days to come. In your name we ask it. Amen.